Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with a community of poets from around the world. We all come together to celebrate spoken word art and the written word, and most of all, family. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the August 10th, 2018 edition. My name is Michael Amadei. I'm one of your hosts. Sitting across from me here is JT, the man who keeps everything moving. And he is my other co-host here. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really well. It's been a good week.
Yeah.
It's been pretty hot here. Are you doing all right?
Well, it's been warmer than I like, but earlier in the week it was fine.
You and I went to go see the Denver Broncos training camp this
week. Yes, we did.
Which was good stuff.
Yes, it was.
And it was a nice day.
It was a great day.
But when it got warm,
it was too hot.
And then we split. We went and had lunch. That was exactly the right thing to do. I think we've kind of figured out our stride. After this many years,
yeah.
I think you and I are like, okay, I think we know. Like, I think JT's not going to like this, so let's not do it. And I think you think the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, that's what you get when you get two Virgos together, I think. anyway, so it's been a wonderful week. I hope you guys have had a great one as well. We're excited for some stuff we have today. We have three more clues for our POM, which I will announce here in a moment. I'm just trying to avoid the song for a second. We also have some great poetry from all of our callers, a submission, three more clues. And then we're also going to have a Studio X segment as well, which I'm really looking forward to doing and kind of showing you some new stuff, guys. So, before we take too long to get into it, I'm just going to give the basic rules. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Number one, no hate speech. This is not a place for that. It never has been, and it never will be. Number two, when we get on the line, please have your poem ready. It is, you know, we understand if something goes a little awry right then, but make sure you have it ready, just out of respect for the other poets and the other listeners. Number three, make sure that if you have any suggestions, any comments, we do love to hear them. Just send them to us through email. Don't do them on the air. It just kind of tends to do the same thing and take time. Number four, make sure your poem is between 1 and 5 minutes. If it goes a little bit over, we're not going to like jump in and cut you off, but we just want to make sure we're being mindful of everybody else. And then lastly, God, which one did I forget?
We
try to skew PG-13 because we do have. Can I get these? Can get these written and put on the wall, maybe. Lastly, we try to skew PG-13 because sometimes we have families and people listening, and we aren't trying to overtly offend them. However, we're not in the business of censorship, which means if something is really artistically motivated, we're not going to motivate Howl, for instance. But if it gets a little too over the top, then we might recommend that you save it and read it during our After Dark segment, which we have usually once a month on the first Friday of each month. Other than that,
that's good.
That's it. Okay, so we're going to be taking five unique callers for our first call-in segment. You'll be answered in the order you are received. If you're not picked up in time, don't worry. We'll have more segments. You'll get a chance. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back.
Do you like that? I kind of had a slight kind of ornamentation in my voice there.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It was a little, I don't know where that comes from. It's a talent. I could be like, and I'm not even trying to do that. It's just why they call that talent.
Is that why? Is that what they call it? Talent?
No, it's like a superpower, only the opposite. All right. So we've got five great callers lined up. Really excited to showcase them all and showcase all of their wonderful work for you. First of all, we do have a submission. But JT, I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
We were talking about something right before the show about the old episodes.
Yeah.
And we know we're going to do it.
Right.
You want me just to tell them we're going to start doing it?
Yeah.
Because it's ongoing.
Yeah, it'll be ongoing.
So we're going to be taking the past episodes of World Poetry Open Mic, including the new ones as well, but we're going to catch up. And we're going to be putting them on iTunes, Pocket Cast, like all of the big podcast providers as well. So it'll be an extra way for people to be able to find your work and hear your work. It'll be an extra way you can, you know, reference people instead of just having to send them to the site. So we're going to be starting that whole migration process. We finally figured out a way to really do it the right way. And we're excited about doing it. So this is just letting you know. And, of course, I'll mention it a few other times, but we'll give you all the links to know how to find them and everything.
That's right.
But it'll be a lot easier on people's smartphones and things now than just going to the site. All right. Now let's go to the first submission. This one is from Namrata Santoki. It's pretty awesome because JT was setting up the list here. He didn't even touch Namrata's name. And then I figured, oh, well, he must have seen this in our email. No, it turns out he hadn't. He just assumed because she's very consistent, and we love that. And this one's called The Life by Namrata Santoki. In the deep blue sea, as wide as the sky, resides the pearls into the shells. Sea divers fetch them as they fit into ornaments, alluring the beauty. And the life seems endless. A smile and some sadness. A speech and some silence. As if shimmering moonlight into the dark nights. And the life seems insightful. A stream of water flowing through a series of pebbles. Unknown by its touch to stone. Navigates itself to uncharted paths. Forgets its identity. And blends with the sea, and life seems to be complete. A pair of swans, deeply united by boundless love, setting an extraordinary exemplar of affection, became immortal in their detachment, and life seems alive. And that was The Life by Namrata Santoki. Beautiful piece. And, of course, if you want to send in your poetry like Namrata, you can do it in two ways. One is by going to our webpage, worldpoetryopenmic.net. Do people say webpage anymore?
No, they say website.
I don't know why I say page. That's weird.
It's because it's an old school term that you like, you're used to. It's okay.
I think I just do it because I'm thinking about certain pages on a site.
Yes.
Maybe
plus,
that's
you're also like a builder of it.
Yeah, so I just think of it that way. Yeah. Go to our website, worldpoetryopenmic.net or .com. Either way, it goes to the same place. And then go to the contact form there and just fill it in. Or you can send it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Those are the only two ways to actually send us a piece of poetry. And just put submission in the subject line when you send us an email if you'd like. Okay. So let's head first to our first caller, the man who's been with us since nearly the beginning of the show, and we love him so much for it. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Good evening, Dennis.
Good evening. Is this Friday night?
I think so.
Hope so.
All right. I'm in the right place.
Woohoo! How was your week?
All right.
How'd the week go?
My week's gone well.
All right. Happy to hear it.
Yes. Yes, it's been a good week for me, and I've been writing some, and it's all good.
Wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. Happy to hear that. So I'll give you the stage, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All right. That sounds good. All right. The writing group I'm in was invited to participate in a local art show by providing some poetry, some ekphrastic poetry relating to some of the pieces of art that was in the show. And there were eight writers in my writing group that participated in this, and they did great. I happened to get a picture of the artwork I was supposed to write for. It was a picture of some daisies. It had some slogans on it, like free love, flower power, peace, and groovy, keep on trucking. And it has a bunch of rock bands and music bands from the 1967, the Summer of Love. So with that as being my inspiration, I wrote this song, back up. I wrote this poem. The title is Symbols, Slogans, and Songs. The power of the flower, peace symbol of the age, and bumper sticker prophets add slogans to the page. The times they were changing as free speech found its voice to rebel against establishment and prove we have a voice. Protests spawned across the land and music led the way. Anti-war, free love, drug songs, Aquarius dawning in her day. The music brings back memories of hard times in the past. But when we stand together, flowers bloom. Tyranny can't last. End of poem.
I really enjoyed that piece. I thought I can hear that as a song there. Can't you, JT?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Well, we had a great time in this show, and there were George participated also in that show, and we just had a lot of fun. And I think we're going to be invited back next year.
Oh, that's
for
good.
The ekphrastic poetry writing.
Oh, nice.
Which we like to go out and share our poetry, and this gives us opportunity to get out beyond the walls of our workshop where we meet all the time and share our work with other people. And we are get to experiment with different things. So this worked out really great, and had a great time with it. So I thought I'd share this with you this evening.
Oh, no, that's a wonderful thing. And I think it's great to spend time working on your craft, and it's great to call shows like this and get and connect with people. But getting out face-to-face, standing up there reading your work, you know, meeting people like we've met Dennis, you know, and Cynthia and us have all met.
Yeah.
And you've met a lot more people from the show than we have, and we're going to be changing that soon.
Yes. Well, I'm your goodwill ambassador for the show.
You are.
I like going out, roaming around, and meeting other poets that are on the show. You know, we're a brotherhood here, and it's good to get out and meet my brothers and sisters.
That's it. I love that. That's perfect. Well, Dennis, thank you for everything you do for us, and we really enjoy it.
And thank you for everything you do for us, providing this platform and giving us the time to express ourselves. What a blessing it is to us. Hey. And I'm going to let the next poet step up the mic. I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. And that was Dennis calling us from Michigan, leading off the show. Now we're going to go. So Dennis flew out a few years ago to Posick Fest. We met him. We had a great dinner. But there's another person we had dinner with as well that night.
Yes, it was.
And she also flew into Denver.
Yes, she did.
And she's up next. This is Cynthia Connors from Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, what a great start to the show.
It's a great start. By the way, I want to call this out. I saw this on social media. What place is your new book on the Canadian poetry rankings on Amazon?
That's so cool. You saw it. It's number 5, so I'm very happy.
Woo-hoo! That's number pretty, 5. That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
The top 100, and it's at number 5.
That is awesome. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm actually ahead of Rupi Kerr's Kindle book right now.
Good.
But she's good. Holding first and second place for her print books.
Well, of course she is. But they're distributed everywhere also. No, you know what, Cynthia, way to go. Way to go. And we're really proud of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to all of your support, everyone at World Poetry Open Mic, and all my friends who've made the effort to go out and buy copies and support me.
Of course, anytime.
So I have read this on the show before, but I want to read the title poem from Rainforest and Russet, which is my new poetry book. And this was co-written with my really good friend and my poetry hero, Jude Neal. So this is it, Rainforest and Russet. In the silence between breaths, my truth rises. I fall into the space where the forest captures light. Is this the question or the answer? To trust this journey of closure. A new opening repertoire. I dig for you in the shadows of dying gray matter to find a slip, a morsel of foggy memory. How we set up your chessboard the night we met. Photograph the pieces in their complicity to be art. The queens, their own fashion statement, balanced in the spotlight. Horses rode across the checkered landscape, free of battle scars or fear. Configurations came and went. We both knew the game transcended competition. Our strategy, a decades-long tango of connection. We played until slivers of dawn shone on an empty stage. Now at the threshold of rainforest and russet, ash into earth, to whatever is or isn't, I am released. End poem.
That's a beautiful piece. So that's the start. And you've read that before, like you said, but that's the start of the book?
Yeah, that's the first one, and we named the book after it.
Oh, that's cool. Well, so, Cynthia, that's awesome. And, let us know anything we can do to help you, okay?
Hey, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. And we'll talk to you hopefully during the return engagement.
Yep. I'll be back.
All right. Wonderful. Sounds good. Thank you. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. I don't know if you guys heard that. She's number 5 on the Canadian poetry charts on Amazon. She's kind of a big deal right now. Okay.
And she calls into our show.
She calls in. It's just amazing. You know what that means? That has it means less about her, and it means more about how fancy we all are. No. No. Cynthia, that's awesome. We're totally kidding, and we're all just really proud of you and really happy for you. All right, let's go now to George in Michigan. Hey, George, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing just wonderfully.
All right.
It's Friday, and it's makes the adrenaline pump. At my age is an artificial pump, but it still makes it pump.
Hey, I've been seeing your little tags about how you're going and working out and everything. You're doing well.
Yeah, I am. Just last week or two, I've been a little sloppy about doing it, but I've also been painting in the house and doing tons of gardening and visiting and all kinds of stuff.
Good for you.
I was going to read a poem. I bought a busted bird in my yard. But then I heard Dennis talk about this, where we did fantastic pieces based on artworks at this Council of the Arts near here. And so I'm going to read the one that I wrote. The piece I did, it was a pink background, quite bright, quite a lot of lines and things, great. And then boldly, a slogan, make art, not war. And so this is what I saw as I, you know, not knowing the banner or anything like that, this is what I wrote about it. My gaze was caught by a bright pink painting. It declared, "Make art, not war." It had been earnestly brushed on an expectant canvas by a painter who knew there was more. The colors were spread marble-like on the piece, and small flowers argued peace, love, and art. But the gift guts of the thing was forcing her choice against war's blood, which tears us apart. Almost none have ever perished over masterful music, and no one sheds blood over artistic scopes. Because art holds up life and cherishes innocence, while war rips the guts out of hopes. The artist brushed lightly and built a plush background for the black boldness of the big declaration. The result is clearly the perfect example of why art can conquer conflagration. Oh, say I can see, and it matters to me, that this painting does offer up choices. But the brushstrokes of love and a bold worded goal, making art can be gaining some voices. End of piece.
That's a powerful piece. And I could see how that would fit really well in the same kind of event that Dennis was describing.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. And I thought the other ones were very good too. And then give Dennis credit for organizing this thing in conjunction with the artists. We'll probably end up doing this again, Dennis says, and I'm all for it.
That's great. I'm happy to hear about that stuff. Really happy to hear about you guys out doing that.
We do quite a bit of it, kind of thing around here in the Detroit area.
That's fantastic.
But Dennis is the driving force.
Well, send us some pictures sometime. We'd love to see it.
Oh, we will.
All right.
Be glad to.
All right, perfect.
Okay.
Thanks, George, and we'll talk to you during the return engagement, hopefully.
Right, thanks.
All right, thank you. And that was George, also calling from Michigan. So far we've been Michigan, Vancouver, British Columbia. You know what? We need to get the South involved here.
You think?
What do you think? This is World Poetry Open Mic. Yeah, we've been across countries, but we're all kind of close, somewhat close together.
Yeah.
So I say let's go to Alabama.
Okay.
What do you say? Just for good measure.
Sounds good.
Let's go visit Stan. Hey, Stan.
Hey, how are you doing, Michael? How are you
doing, good.
Busy? We're doing good.
We're doing good. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Wonderful. Hey, by the way, I want to publicly thank you for taking the time to read that that script I sent over to you.
That's a heck of a script.
Well, I'm glad
and
you enjoyed it.
I think that would make a hell of a radio, one of those grand old radio shows.
Oh, you think so, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to bug you to do a voice in that thing. I think I have an idea.
Well, hey, I can do a voice. You can do a voice. JT can handle all the sound effects. We'll kill it.
Okay, thank you for not saying I can do a voice. I appreciate that.
That's the thing we're missing. JT, we need to get you the microphone with all the little gadgets and things that make the sound effects.
So cool. The little
we were wondering where this show can go. That's a thing. I'm going to make you a sound effects guy.
All right.
That could be fantastic. All right. Hey, before we get too far out of here, Stan, I'm going to give you the stage, okay?
Okay, man. All right. This is the piece that I wrote. The prompts were from Mr. Titus Llewellyn, which was Obstamath and Consinity. And this is Obstamath, a poetic pilgrimage of perpetual beginnings. Wondrous the pilgrimage for poetic enlightened knowledge. In seeking through the words, the art of poetic consinity. All right. Some more things in these travels were revealed and gained. Determination and focus found within patience, continuity. Observed change, a constant within our life and throughout. Moot points of beginnings, change perpetual to infinity. irrelevant when journey starts, optimath there for all our existence. So new learnings begins continuously as we travel toward eternity. And that's end peace. And what I tried to do, thank you.
Of course.
What I tried to do with this was, part of consinity is the arranging and fitting of parts. And I figured since poetry is parts of words, I went ahead and merged the idea of an acrostic into a raccontino.
Oh, how cool is that?
Right.
Okay.
So what happens is, you know, with the raccontino, the last word in the odd-numbered lines eventually forms a statement.
Right.
Right. And then, of course, with an acrostic, all the starting letters form words.
Yep.
So using the acrostic first and then adding that to the raccontino, I ended up with wisdom is knowledge gained throughout existence.
That's great. Well
yeah.
done, Stan.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Hey, I don't know. It's part of it I know is the garden, but the other part is there is just something about a Titus Llewellyn prompt that makes me want to push the envelope.
I was going to say that's some heavy lifting there.
And that's just it. There's just something about his prompts that sparked that.
That's awesome. Great work. Great work. And I love hearing about someone. I love it when people are pushing, whether it's in material, whether it's in the form itself, just the expression. I think the whole thing's cool, and I commend you for it.
I know. And my kudos, and got to give my dubs to Titus for two excellent words.
That's awesome. Stan, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you during the return engagement, okay?
All right. Thank you, and on to the next.
All right. Thank you, sir. And that was Stan Collin from Alabama. Now, so we've gone to the South, JT.
Uh-huh.
You know where we need to go? I think we should go to the island where the language began.
Oh.
And I don't mean Europe.
Right. That's not a... Yeah.
The history?
Yes. Yeah, where all the history comes from.
Yeah. Well, the people who won. The winners.
Anyway, yeah.
No. It's a Germanic language, JT. It's a Germanic language, and it's a mishmash of all the stuff from the continent. Let's go now. This is the thing where JT gets obstinate, and then he laughs when I'm like, wait a second. No. Let's go now. Let's go now to the UK. Let's visit with Titus. Good morning, Titus.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, trying to stop coughing.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
I'm trying to find the little cough sweets, but I can't find them. It doesn't matter.
Well, JT has a huge bag of them around here somewhere. I don't know if
I don't think I can throw them that far, though, Michael. Okay.
I've got my hand out.
All right. So how was the last week?
Just a couple of days. We had the heat wave, as you know.
Right.
But the last 2 days, very, very wet. I got absolutely soaked by cycling home, so
that makes sense.
That was a bit of fun.
Yeah, I would imagine that sounds lovely. So, okay, well, how about this? I'm going to give you the stage, and
there's a little intro, if I may. Yes?
Of course, absolutely. Of course.
Yeah, sure. The Earth Angel going off piste. The Earth Angel poem for Dante Rosalia Fabian. Speaks of seven Spanish angels, but I believe that of the many, you should pick out one and make them feel unique in their own way. So one was for her, but this Earth Angel poem is for a Nereid. The Nereids were 50 daughters, the sea nymphs. So this speaks of just one, and making that one sea nymph from the others, making her unique. It's Earth Angel and dedicated to Namrata Santoki. Nerid, a dispute of love's apparel reaching all epic proportion. The dawns are not too near but distant future. What lies under the sea manifests the beautiful creatures, as often who delve in sophism, rankered with the truth that seeing is believing. There is a glimmer and possible hope surrounding dreams. We are aware of diorama, touching moments when meaningful it was to carry and consort arbitrary measure, the pleasure and pain of the peaceful hacienda. Semitones evolve from the tiniest moments, and like the voyages and passages in time, uplift you to a place of tranquility. To sender negotiates between knowing or not. It could have been heaven. Time adjustments are made to surrender, then let the time forget. Only from a memory are you willing to survive these pasts, ergo keeping faith and making safe the present. If destiny looks back in favor of what you've done, it will lead you to a safe Zarafari. End of poem. That's it.
That's all right. Titus, that was a lovely piece.
I'd like to just mention that Hacienda is a dwelling, that sophism is the clever falseness in complete opposition to diorama, which is the truth. And the ascender is the things which are better left unsaid, which are your own private thoughts. So that's kind of like, hopefully people won't just read those words and not take in what their meanings are.
I think it's good to add that context in it as well. But I think the thing stands beautifully, but that further context really helps it as well.
Yes, and all the Earth Angel poems are to make that one person unique in themselves against many who we could point out in a group.
Yeah. Titus, thanks a lot. I mean, there's really a lot of heart in what you're doing, and I think everybody feels it very deeply.
Lovely. Thank you for your help.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
And that was Titus calling from the UK early morning. We're so happy he gets up early and shares with us. By the way, Namrata, I know it's early where you are. Maybe not as early in the morning
it's
as where it
afternoon.
Is for Titus. But thank you for listening. I know it's not during the evening. It's not Friday evening where you are. So thank you for taking the time to listen as well. Now, dun 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 dun. Ah, that's not even the music. Hey, it's time for those three clues. You know those three clues?
Yeah.
For the August 2018 Poet of the Month. All right. So last week, we've already given three clues. We're going to have another three now. Okay? Now, if you think you know who it is, don't say it in the chat room. Send us a message privately. That's an easy way to do it. We can accept those through email, you know, Facebook Messenger, whatever. Just send it to us if you think you know. Here we go. Here's the first clue for this week. The Thorn and the Rose. Clue number two. Peaceful movement to unite the world. And number three, and this one's kind of a giveaway, America the Beautiful. And those are your three clues for this month's Poet of the Month. Wow. Okay,
wow.
Anyway, here we go.
A little weird.
It's going to be one of those nights. All right, we're looking for the next five callers. So if you have not called in yet tonight, but you want to, now's your time. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
So Lenny C., the yes. guy who's doing that, was a legend here in Colorado and in Denver as a poet. He came in our first year of doing this show. He came to the studio, to the old radio studio where we were. And... and was just so kind and did such a great job. I have to say, when he recorded that Rock the Mic, when he says, "When you suck, nothing can save you," I swear for a while, it just sounded to me like he was saying, "When you thuck."
Oh.
T-H. I was like, wow, that's a really interesting alliteration. No, it's just, I was just making it too complicated. Sometimes we do that.
You?
Sometimes we're not. Me? Make things too complicated. What was the wiring for this studio like again? No. Anyway.
Hey, no.
That was everybody. That was everybody involved. Let's go to, you know, I actually don't have a submission lined up for this segment. So what we're going to do is just go straight into the callers.
Okay.
You good with that?
Sounds good.
All right, everybody. What happened?
Nothing. Another person hung up. It's okay.
Another person?
Okay. Well, a person hung up.
Another person hung up, but you're doing it in wrong order. Okay, let's go to Philip in Kentucky. Sound like a Huey Lewis in the News song. Hey, Philip, how's it going?
I'm still allergic to posers.
Yes, oh. Yes, as am I.
All right.
I can't tell if it's because I'm so authentic, or if I'm just I'm the only one. I can be the only poser in the room without getting my ego ruffled.
Yeah, right. And I think I should include that allergy includes myself. You know, who hasn't every so often, right?
Of course. True.
Right. How are you, fellers? You sound like you're in good form tonight.
I think we're doing well. I'm doing fine.
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's a really exciting, Philip. I can now officially twist to my right without in ridiculous pain. I'm happy.
Is
this is a good
Very
thing.
Very good.
Yeah.
Next
yeah,
step, the
I'm
world.
Glad.
Yeah.
That's important, especially if you're going to strap a guitar on and try to sing there, my friend. You know, you've got this whole school year coming up, and I want you in. You know, sit.
Tip, hip-hop fighting shape. Someone's got to take on those kindergartners with fists
right.
of iron.
You also have, you know, a future battle with me with thumb wrestling at some point.
Hey,
and,
man,
you know,
I'm going to concede that already, but I will train. It's going to be like a Rocky movie over here.
All right. I look forward to the montage. All right. Well, I'll get to it. And, boy, we've had some fine poets lighting up the mic. I heard Dennis and Titus and George and even Ooh. Cynthia. And I think I only missed the first person. I hope or was that – never mind. We don't need to go through the roll call. I was impressed with everyone. So, geez. All right. Here we go. The title – Modern youth win as if a Montague. And here we go. Exterior house lights glow tennis ball yellow. Soft off green limes squeezed into dirty tequila. Unreturned volleys from distant summers green as courtship. First service to love in ivory skirts and other silly forsooth sally forth expressions. Hot crepuscular eves strutting through neighborhood streets, ready to joust gibbous moons, amber enamored, young enamorata, the mineral aroma of dug gardens, color of blushes purloined, and the balmy promise of oncoming rains pooled into secrets. The memorably long, insatiable anticipation at their midnight bedroom windows masquerading, wherefore art thou? Before asking why with such and such's political daughter as you would if a Capulet. Delicate sound from a borrowed pint, tapping against panes newly lit. And there it is, fellers.
You know, we have come to expect nothing less than that, but the turns of phrases and everything, we always just really enjoy, Philip, and you're in great form tonight yourself.
Well, thank you, sir. I look forward to the next poets, and I look forward to the return engagement.
Hey, thank you, Philip. Really
All right,
appreciate
cheers.
You, man. Cheers. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky, home of the enamel-footed bathtub. And that is not a joke. That's real.
It's pretty impressive,
It's
folks.
Pretty impressive.
Can't help myself.
It is, though.
It is, actually.
You know, without that enamel.
That's right.
there are problems. Let's go to land of the free and home of the brave, Connecticut. Let's visit with Barbara. I think I've been listening to too many newscasters.
I think so.
Land of the free and home of the brave. Woo!
That's right. How are you?
I'm brave.
All right.
And free.
All right.
Oh.
And free. Brave and free.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So I'm going to give give you the stage first, okay?
It was a quiet week, so I have nothing to talk about. The poem I'm going to read also is in the garden with Tony's wonderful prompts. I had to look them both up. Obsimuth means somebody who is or something that has been established in life and has a lot of experiences. And concinnity is harmony between all things. So they have some other definitions in politics, but these are the two definitions you should know. So my poem title is "An Opsimuth Struggles to Find Concinity in Life, or Finding a Way to Capture Memories Without Grief Interfering." As an opsimuth, my visions are mostly grounded in the past and filled with memories that may or may not have existed. For memories are like clouds floating in the sky of our brains. Sometimes they converge and form a complete picture, and other times they scatter and show more of an abstract of our existence. Perhaps in trying to remember our past, the present converges in a concinity that we may not realize at the time. For some memories hold dangerous paths, better explored by leaving them in the past and finding a way to keep them far from us, as if we were watching them with binoculars, where we could twist the lens to see them clearly or blur our visions so they take on a more impressionist feel. Concinity happens when those are somehow defined as words and become part of a larger piece of a work laden with images we have culled from our many experiences in this beauty-filled world in which we have partaken of these events. And our thoughts now travel to places and scenes long gone, and yet so immediate they bring tears or laughter and merge with the present in a complete harmony. Where once these were daggers when they fell upon the page, they have transformed into butter knives and no longer hurt as much. Instead, they bring a poignant remembrance, filling us with a sense of comfort and fulfillment, and we can summon these images forth in the purple hues of concinity with our present and find a measure of peace. For surely in the day-to-day world of our constant activities necessary for life to exist, I do not think of the past very often, unless hearing the music of my loved one's favorite musician evokes a memory that cuts the heart and tears must be shed for the pain to ease. Or a simple activity I always did with him becomes fodder for a broken heart and creates a milieu of sadness for the whole as my eyes weep over the cut watermelon. Finding concinity in life is rare, and when we lose it, our body separates. Its parts no longer want to function as they once did, and colors aren't as bright. Laughter becomes a long-lost friend, and time no longer has meaning, for we don't share it with the one we love. Struggling to find the harmony I once had, I have stumbled into various adventures in an attempt to recreate the joy and excitement I once felt just being next to him. And it works for a time as I convince my mind this is the way it will be. Happiness is only going to be rented. At the end of the day, as I inhabit a lonely bed, my thoughts return to that lost feeling, as if I had borrowed the concinity of the day and taken it off with my makeup and pump.
Some conviction in that one. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I had a very quiet week, actually, because of the crazy weekend we went to see Mean Girls. And that was awesome. And so then the next night, we follow, I don't know if you follow Next Food Network stores, but one of the restaurants that we go to was the restaurant that Christian, the guy on Food Next Food Network store, was the chef and the owner of. So they had a big party. Most of it was in Armonk, which we didn't go to, but we went to our usual restaurant, and it was just half-price pizza. So, I mean, who could go wrong with half-price pizza, you know?
I found some places that if they were half-price pizza, they would be a little dodgy, but, you know, fair enough.
This is a place we always go to.
Yeah, you know it's good. No, I get that for sure, yeah.
And so it was Saturday and Sunday, and so the weekend was really crazy. And I think I did something on Friday night, too. But anyway, I had a quiet week, and it was good. It was very good because then, you know, I could get my poem in early. It was fun.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, so it's good. And Titus, I will look into your situation. Tony says that there's something to do with the garden. I will check.
Right.
Because we had a little bit of drama. I won't go into it, but maybe off the radio, I'll go into it with you privately or anyone who wants to know. But there was a little bit of drama there. So he might have gotten caught in the crossfire somehow.
Oh, well, that'd be unfortunate. Well, there is no drama here, and we love you, Barbara. Thank you so much.
I know. That's why I love coming. And keep those dancing songs going. I was dancing during the break.
The last song. You know, I'm just baffled. I mean, I don't understand who Sharona that really is that he's talking about in that song. It's yours?
My Sharona.
Okay. Well, it can't
it's
all be
my
all.
Sharona.
It can't, see, that's the problem. It can't all be all of our Sharonas.
No. I've never known anyone named Sharona, have you?
What? No. No. I could name someone Sharona.
I've known Sharons, but not Sharona.
Next time I meet a Sharon. Hey, Sharon. Or Sharona. She'd be like, oh, no, you're that kind of person.
Play this song. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get off the phone.
Thank you, Barbara.
And let the rest go on.
All right. We'll talk to you during the return engagement.
Thank you for being here.
Of course. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, the land where it happens. I want to be in the land where it happens. Got
the
that?
The room where it happens.
The land where it happens, named Connecticut. Okay, let's go now to Pennsylvania to visit with Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
How's it going?
Doing okay. It's been one of those weeks.
Oh, has it? All right. Well,
yeah.
Do you get some time to kind of relax tomorrow?
Unfortunately, not. Mandatory overtime.
All right. Well, we'll be thinking about you. Just put your head down and get through it, huh?
Okay.
All right. All right. So I'm going to. I'm just going to give you the stage. Okay.
Okay, well, before I start, I have three choices for what to read, and I'm not sure which one. I got to vote for one, and I got to vote for another one.
Okay.
So it's Young Bright Eyes, Eulogy of Tears, or Peter of Pumpkin Eater fame. Don't know which one to read right now.
Peter of Pumpkin Eater.
Okay, so we got two votes for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's JT. JT was a tiebreaker.
Okay. Peter of Pumpkin Eater fame. Peter peered at the pumpkin, reminded of his wife. It was the tomb he laid her body in, dearly departed for knowing other men. End of poem.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes. Yesterday morning, my girlfriend had read something about Ladybug. Mm-hmm. Was supposed to be about the Great London Fire of 1666.
Oh.
And after that, she told me that Peter Pumpkin Eater, the backstory on that is a guy, his wife was sleeping around with other men. He couldn't divorce her, so he killed her and stuffed her in a pumpkin.
That. Yeah. You can just, I mean, as morbid as that is, you can just picture this person like looking at the body and then like looking at places where he could put it, and you could just see the process like, no, can't go in there. And then he sees the pumpkin, and something in his brain made him go, that's a good idea. that's a good subject too. Good on you for picking a subject like that.
Yeah, sometimes I never know what's going to spark something in me.
Yeah.
And I actually had the idea, why not try to do like a chapbook or a full-length collection of nothing but poems like that.
I think it'd be great.
Based on nursery rhymes.
Yeah.
Or fairy tales.
I think people would really like that one. They'd laugh a lot too, I think. Yeah. Way to go.
Warp some people's minds.
Yep.
That's the whole goal, isn't it? That's All right. Hey, Jim, we appreciate you, man. Are you going to be around for the return engagement?
I'm not sure. I'm going to kind of play it by ear.
Okay. Sounds good. We hope we can get you there, but we understand if you can't.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later, buddy. Bye. And that was Jim Collin from Pennsylvania. His works. To echo some sentiment in the chat room, his works are just way too long.
They really are. He should shorten them a little
bit. Yeah,
he
really should. Hey, Mary, give us a call. It's your turn, okay?
just shorten them down?
Yeah, you know, I mean, brevity is the essence.
Yeah?
Yeah. Actually, I like it better when the quote is just like, you know, brevity.
Well said.
Thank you. All right, here we got Mary from Arizona. Hello, Mary.
From Arizona, the land of the heat, yes.
Yeah, how many eggs did you cook on your sidewalk today?
We are in heat regularly here.
I figure. It's an oven.
Yeah, figuratively and every which way, we are always in heat here. Anyway.
And yet they did make the movie Heat about where you are.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, I got the strength of it when we were all, my daughters and I, the three of us live in Arizona and the one lives in Wisconsin, so we all chat. It's called the whole crew, and the one has a little husband and all that and two little stinky dogs. Anyway, we all chat back and forth, and we said, is it still hot? Because the one is visiting back in Wisconsin. And I said, well, yeah, it's kind of hot, but it's cooler now. I can open the window for like 10 minutes in the morning, get a little draft. And then my summer, who lives with me, she said, don't worry. It was like 110 and now it's like 109 or so.
Whoa, cooling down.
Boy. You know, we had that day here. Was it last month, JT? That was like 105 or something.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, and it's that was rare for that time, but man, I remember, the office where I write wasn't too bad, but walking upstairs, I was just hit by a wall of heat because we're not set up for it here, you know.
When the sauna comes to you, you know, that's when it's a little scary.
Yeah. Although I got to tell you, my endurance and everything just went way up that day. I was like, wow, I just feel amazing.
Your heart either pumps or it doesn't. There you go, there, or it's good to get a little bit. All right.
Exactly.
We're going to get into it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm going to play in the background a song by Evanescence that I learned and loved in 2003 when I had to leave the marriage and all the stuff that I had to leave. And then all the years that it took to get to here. So that's in the background and then my scribble. Bring Me to Life is the song. Leftover feelings of you out here. though I never really knew till now in decades through and through. Seen some in that time, some in 2004, some since then, some yesterday. Image of you finally faded now, like memos on a tack board, all weathered and tattered from a beautiful mind, now fractured. Irrevocably. They're too long for their worth anymore. I hope so. For my children too, what? The suitable phrases, let us be here. Notes from a court-ordered page my eldest Yasmin at 12 had to write after an agreed to court-ordered visitation for her and her sisters. With Dad, a weekend. On Friday, we went to State Street and I helped him unload stuff from his car. After we left, we went to Nana's, Grandma's. Sat around for a little while, then went to Hannah's aunt till about midnight. Went home and went straight to bed. Saturday, Daddy gave us a choice to go to Fast Forward, bowling, Chuck E. Cheese's, roller skating, or Auntie Hannah. We told him we wanted to go roller skating. And he said, no, let's go somewhere else. He took us to the warehouse for 3 hours. My dad called me to come and help him for a little while I was out there. I jumped on my pogo stick. I jumped once, and then I fell onto my hand. My dad started laughing. I think I chipped a bone. After that, we left. My dad decided to take us to Hannah. He left us there a long time while he went to a party. When he came back, Uncle Muhammad and his kids came, 5 kids. It was hectic because it's such a small house. My uncle hit me for no reason. Stayed there till 10 o'clock, and Sunday we went to Arabic school. I didn't imagine misery to these infernal degrees, Ahmed, when I fell in love with you and how I seemed to see you fall in love with me. But love is transcending and sometimes transcendental, sometimes brings misery to both sides until they know for certain the blocks are unpenetratable and finally give the effort rest already. The cultural clash came out like a gong once the feeling of our marital situation, views of children came to view. Coffin lid coming down on me and my daughters, feelings of autonomy. The more you immersed yourself in your mother's covered ways and religious fears, I found myself and my daughters being swallowed up by the same ignorant treatment, ways that I myself grew up in my Catholic, Prussian, Irish, German family heritage, but with now a perverted double-edged twist when it came to moral standards and double lives. My notes from circa about the same year. He hit Yasmin on the back. Susan even suggested I call to report him. Iman told her therapist Friday she was 7. They slept in pee bed night 2. When they are with him, they sit in the back room of the store from 3 to close or all day. If they fight, he hollers. If one cries, he hits the culprit. They ate at 10:30 and 9 p.m. those 2 days. He openly hates their pets. He took their children's bookcase, saying it was his business stuff. Recovering from his lectures and hollers and visibly shaken, even after all his calls, all of us four, my 3 daughters, me, even 14 years later, your Ahmed fallout remains through your children's lives, and I have a lifetime effect of scars from your abuse. But we've learned to move on with our heads and our chins up and soulfully looking at the sky and our own glorious path that we are all entitled to living. How we act and how we care for those we love, how we care not to further injure those we cannot see eye to eye with. Just slowly, simply gather our things and walk away. Earnest and soulful grace, let that speak the loudest for us in my little cove. We have done all that we can at our roots, and it is good to move on from things that do not suit us or our feelings towards humanity. Let's see the truth and good. Let's see the kind treatment of our fellow human beings. Each and every one of us have our own growth and flight path. End of Mary Saga. Thank you.
No, that was a meaningful, beautiful piece.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, way to go.
It was a run-on, and I'm sorry for that, because I'm not a writer. All of you are writers, and you learn to hone it, and I'm happy to just be among you. Mm-hmm.
We're happy to have you with us as well.
All right. Return engagement. Here we go.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
And that was Mary calling from Arizona. JT, we did it again.
Yes, we did.
All right. Lovely piece. Let's go now to Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama. Mama, are you there? Give her a moment.
I'm here.
All right. There you are. Good evening.
I'm 22 years. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Just fine.
Okay. I'm going to do Jesus Wept. It's my favorite new poem.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, let's turn this down just a little more. Mary, that was awesome. It's not about whether you are a writer. It's about how effective you are. You are an effective storyteller. A female bard.
She's a writer. She just doesn't like to call herself one.
She's effective wherever she is.
Yeah, yeah, whatever she... You know what? The title doesn't even matter. She is what she is, and what she does is great.
Is effective. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see how effective this is going to be, speaking to some of the other bards out there. Some words speak for themselves. Some poets are not spoken word artists, and sometimes all you need is a way with words. Words telling the truth. Telling the truth with words. I mean, how much passion can you use to recite Jesus wept? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Some words are passionate within themselves. In some cases, you must listen to the message and don't miss the message because he or she may be soft. Spoken and reserved, and you who are looking for instant gratification and stimulation must learn to appreciate poets who have done the work and left some room for the listener's own imagination to kick in. For instance, erotica becomes poetry when you go too far, but that's with anything. Once a poet starts describing too much, my mind pictures yuck, and the piece loses its sex appeal or spiritual charm and just sounds jaded. Words should be written so well that the bard can take them to a point and then allow the reader, listener, to participate emotionally and go alone the rest of the way. Poetry is like sex. It takes two. Some lovers want to just lie there and not move, but complain that you didn't take me all the way. Another observational critique. Overdone is more disturbing than underdone and sounds premeditated like bad acting. There has to be a balance. Are we getting wrapped up in the poetry? I'm baffled by the bullshit. No matter. No matter if your verse be short or long, your thoughts are yours, right or wrong. And if you feel your work may be inept, remember the most powerful verse is Jesus wept. In peace.
Wow, Mama. That was a lovely, lovely piece.
Thank you.
That's a treat to be able to hear stuff like that.
I enjoy
Wonderful.
That a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'll see you at a return engagement. Love you both.
We love you too. Thank you. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, rounding out our second segment here for the evening. Well, JT, you think it's about time? Should we go get in the collider?
Okay. Let's see.
Let me know when you're ready. Ready? Clinch.
Yeah. Okay.
Woo. Yep. Sounds like we're in a bathroom.
Yep.
All right. Here we go.
Feels like it, too.
So
I'm sorry.
I don't know how to take that. All right. So I'm going to be doing an original song that I've done. I did on my podcast a while back, but it's from early July. I actually wrote it after a meeting that we had.
Oh,
and then I'm going to do a cover after that. But I hope everybody listening enjoys this one. This one is I've been really getting to the idea of songs as a kind of spell or an invocation of some type. It doesn't mean it is that, but it is. There's something where you're kind of conjuring an emotion from it. And this song is called The End of the Summer, and it's kind of the idea of when we're talking about the summer being someone's life as well, and now it's time, you're in the fall, and now you're going to head into the winter, and the winter meaning death and signifying that as well. And so it's kind of like a voice, almost an angelic voice, talking to someone who's at the end of summer and getting close to the end. And so I hope you guys enjoy it. At the end of the summer, I'll be there in your heart. When you close your eyes, though the years might have hurt you, I'm still here. I'm still here. When you dream, and so it goes, all the beautiful things you lost are found. Now you know we were always here. When you go back to the end of the summer, don't be scared, just take my hand. You'll soon understand, it's the end of the summer, don't you cry. Just close your eyes and dream away. And so it goes, all the beautiful things you lost are found. Now you know we were always here. When you go back to the end of the summer, don't be scared, just take my hand. You'll soon understand, it's the end of the summer, don't you cry. Just close your eyes and dream away. And so that's one. Thank you. And that one's more of an orchestral arrangement and everything that's going to be, it is actually almost done. So that'll be put out at some point, which I think will be cool. This next one is a cover. A lot of people know this one. Let's see how it goes.
Okay. It's been 7 hours and 15 days since she took your love away. I go out every night and sleep all day. Then she took your love away. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whomever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant, but nothing said, nothing can take away these blues. 'Cause nothing compares, nothing compares to you. It's been so lonely without you here, like a bird without a song. Nothing can stop these lonely tears from falling. Tell me, baby, where did I go wrong? I put my arms around every girl I see, but they only remind me of you. I went to the doctor and guess what he told me? Guess what he told me? He said, boy, you better try to have fun, don't matter what you do. But he's a fool, 'cause nothing compares, nothing compares to you. All the flowers that you paint him on in the backyard all died when you went away. I know that living with you, baby, was sometimes hard, but I'm willing to give it another try. 'Cause nothing compares, nothing compares to you. Nothing compares, nothing compares to you. Nothing compares, nothing compares to you.
That slide up's necessary at the end there.
Thank you.
I've actually never played that one before. You I started did. Playing that a little bit during before, but I've never played that. There's some things to work out, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. And it's a pleasure for me to do this here. There's a new kind of way this might play out. We're going to bring it up later, though. It's not going to happen now.
Yeah.
Right now, we're going to get ready to go into the return engagement. That means anybody who wants to call in, who has already called in, they can do it again, or anybody who hasn't yet, we're going to have a segment just for anybody who wants to call in at all. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Your Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Gird up your loins. It's time for the return engagement.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here for the return engagement. We've got a lot of great callers lined up. We have 10 of them. Unfortunately, we were hoping to get Michelle on the line here. It looks like we just weren't able to do it in the call-in segment that we had there. That's okay. Sometimes it doesn't happen every week, but we'll be back next week, and we can definitely give it a shot
absolutely.
Then. Absolutely. Now we're going to head right away. Let's just kick it off. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan.
That's okay.
Welcome back, Dennis.
Oh, yes, I'm back.
All right. We're happy to have you.
Well, thank you. I was trying to get Michelle in there, but she not dialing fast enough, I guess.
Somehow.
I don't know. Maybe next week.
Yeah, hopefully so. We'd love to have Michelle.
Yes. All right. Well, it's been a great show, and I just hope to keep that momentum going, but I don't think so with this poem, but we'll try. All right. I have a silly poem I wrote, and the title is Hungry. He was so hungry he ate the lamp, expecting internal illumination. But the light escaped from such confines through pores and other body apertures. The light could not be contained. Through the nostrils it flared, beacons emitted from his ears, even the dormant belly button shone. People were looking at him weirdly, pointing and laughing so intensely, he regretted his ingested choice. So he ate the lampshade too. His hunger abated, and he was left in the dark once again, feeling like an old fool at the party, wearing the lampshade of humility. End of poem.
That was good.
The lampshade of humility, otherwise known as the cone of shame, I've also heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really liked
poem.
It. Oh, yeah.
I thought I'd just throw it out there, see where it went.
No, we loved it. Yeah, I think, and I could see a good reaction in the chat room as well. So, as always, you've been very well received. Thank you, Dennis.
I've been well received, and because they've been so kind, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate what I'm hearing tonight and every night. And thank you once again.
Of course, thank you.
Let the next poet step up. And I'm going to say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you. And that was Dennis leading us off, calling from Michigan. Now we're going to head back in just a moment, as soon as JT is ready.
Actually, I wanted to bring up something.
Oh, I'm
quick.
Sorry. You
just
mentioned
real
that?
Quick. It's okay.
Okay.
So something was mentioned in the chat room,
sure.
You know, of like, do I need to improve on certain things? And honestly, if anybody is worried about how their poem comes across in their voice, don't. You will naturally improve the more you speak, the more you come onto the show.
Yep.
Your progression will improve. It's natural because you get more comfortable with just speaking aloud your poems.
Well, it's kind of like we were talking about with the books, with that 100 book challenge, right?
Yeah.
It's that I'm okay at launching a book, but I'm not very good at the marketing of a book, right?
Right.
But how am I going to get good at it? I'm going to take 100 swings of the bat.
Absolutely.
I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to. And by doing that, naturally, you start to get better.
Absolutely.
At it.
So yeah, it's just practice. It's just coming on, speaking, and you'll naturally improve. We've heard it for 6 years now.
Oh yeah.
The progression of anybody is amazing. So, yeah,
no, that's,
go back, including us.
I'm glad you brought that up. No, you know, it's funny because there'll be times where we'll sit there and think, man, that's, the show was, on our end, was a little shaky.
Yeah.
Because we're critical like that.
Yeah.
And then we'll go back and listen to shows from like year 3 or 4 where we thought we were doing pretty good. And then we'll be like, ooh, never mind. it's a lot better than it was.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. So this is... this is really something. It's pretty amazing to realize we've been doing it as long as we have.
Yeah.
And I think the people who've been with us have been doing it a long time. Guys, the other thing is people tend to really hate the sound of their own voice.
Yep.
And, you know, you got to be able to step back and remove yourself from that. Pretend it's someone else and just listen. And then you can be listening to it as part of the art critique. How would you change a phrasing, whatever. But that's something you can do.
Yes.
You can do that. So, anyway, this is just us mentioning that. Great that you brought that up. Thank you, JT. Are we good?
We're good.
Okay. We're going to head now to Titus in the UK. Hello, Titus. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm trying to adjust the sound on the show.
No problem at all. No problem.
Okay. We're back.
All right. So it's been a great show, and you know, I think your work was very warmly met before. So I'm just going to give you the stage and let you go again.
Sure, thank you. This one is another Earth Angel poem. This is for Cecile Oration. She's actually adjacent to Namrata on the chandelier. And the mention of Odig is a classical Greek poem modeled on the choric ode and usually having a three-part structure, so it's trying to be 3D in its makeup. And the Iter Aquarids are like shooting stars, so this is how the angels will start off. Earth Angel Cecile Aracion, dedicated to her. Chandeliers, as gracious melodies are formidable and meteoric, Iter Aquarids trail their enchantments overhead, and to soothe collectively, we begin to collaborate with an idea, then ad hoc, intuitive recovery, where aspirations are shared from sci-fi. Looped holders from a safe distance, we can make a cruel letter lively entity, the forbearance to become conversely tertial, ensconce that our goodness overpowers the beliefs you have. Occasionally, Nereids would take the place of what is Amaral's soul, removing all animosity from the roots of all evil. So let us spur adjacent movement to stars. The planets are used to this tantra, conditions relating to the mind, body, and soul. The world being odic, it is visible in total darkness. Surrounding auras are simply senti, or ordinals, who are simply a number, a central position, a realto, nebulas who resemble a free spirit, a cloud as a happy medium. End of poem.
I really enjoyed that piece, but not only that, as you were describing the structure of how you were kind of putting these pieces together, that really made it come alive to me, and I appreciate when an artist is kind of approaching something from a higher level, and I feel like you're doing that with this set of work.
Well, hopefully the book will simplify the poem as well, so there's going to be it's going to be double in width, the book, so it's not only reading the poem but explaining it as well.
Oh, that's lovely. Great ideas. And Titus, we're looking forward to reading the book when it comes out.
Lovely. Thank you for your helps. Anyway, you inspire as well.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. That means a lot.
Brilliant.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, anytime. Thank you, and we'll see you next time, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. And that was Titus calling from the UK. Still in the morning time there, and we always are really happy to have him. Now we're going to travel, and I'm glad that the show is moving fast, so he felt he could call again. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania.
Hi, thank you, and we'll see you next time, okay?
Hey, Jim.
Hello, Titus calling.
All right, I'm glad you were able to actually be on the return engagement.
Well, thank you. I'll try and keep it brief for everybody.
I don't know, man. This is not your strong suit. Jim, two of your poems are equal to one of Philip's titles. Let's be honest here. All right, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with a Eulogy of Tears. I actually wrote this during the waiting for a funeral service to start of a woman that I first met when I went to Milton Hershey School back in 1986. I'll just go with it. Eulogy of Tears. A eulogy in a teardrop for the dearly departed and for those we'll never know. Shows that in this world where hearts are growing cold, we can still love. End of poem.
Ah, I like that. There's a song I heard, and I, you know, it's funny enough, I can't even remember who does it. It's called When the World Was at War, or something like that. When the World Was at War, We Kept on Dancing, and it was very much about the same kind of subject. That's a meaningful subject right now, and James, I really think you did a great job with it.
Thank you. A while back, I had said that there are sometimes you write a poem you wish you were never needed to write.
Yeah.
And this kind of falls into it, but it's, unfortunately, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I realized that it's like the way you view the death of someone, it depends partly on who it is that has just passed away. Because I remember I had done one about another church member, John Gordon, and I went on a completely different bent, you know, different direction with about his death. And then there's a way, just the way I went with Nancy's, it's completely a completely different tack on it.
Sure. And I think that there's a lot of angles to it. You know, it's not just the one thing. I remember seeing a quote recently, which was saying that when you meet someone, you must realize at some point that they are going to lose everyone and everything around them at some point. And if since you're realizing that, how could you be rude or mean to somebody? You know, realizing we're all heading that direction, and that's a pretty dark, ominous thought, but in reality it is kind of there. And I think there's so many colors to that experience that we don't touch on.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
My mind is kind of, I'm thinking and I don't know what I'm thinking. Okay. Or what to think.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, thank you. That was. I'm thinking a lot about that piece as well. It's got me, you can tell, kind of has me going off a little bit too. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. We'll see you next time.
All right.
And that was Jim Collin from Pennsylvania. By the way, I'm just looking in the chat room here. I can't believe I forgot who it was. Dennis looked it up for me. When the World Was at War, We Kept on Dancing is by Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, that's a little amazing that you couldn't remember that
one. I know,
man. Wow.
I know. Okay. By the way, anybody who's listening, some people really hate on Lana Del Rey.
They do.
I, on the other hand, I think she's amazing. And if you want to be proven, if you want to see that proven, look up Lana Del Rey and the song Ride and listen to her poetry at the beginning and at the end of it. Realize she writes everything. She's in control of the aesthetic and how everything goes. She is an actual artist, and she's fantastic. All right, let's go now to...
Stan needs to call.
Oh, Stan. Okay. Hey, Stan, sorry. Give us a call. All the way from Alabama. So, got any good jokes?
Not really. Nothing. Oh, I do, but they're in my phone.
Well, that's...
like the ones I've. I mean, I, okay. Here, okay. So let's see. I send them to my daughter.
I think he might be calling. Okay, that's Stan, saving us from your horrible jokes.
They're dad jokes. I send them to my daughter. Of
hey,
course
Stan, how's it going?
Wow, you guys sound happy.
JT sounds happy, doesn't he? He's laughing because we just saved the audience from a list of jokes that he had on his phone. So this is...
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's good. It's a good thing, Stan. I promise you it's a good thing.
Good thing? Mm.
So what do you have for us?
Well, I was going to do something. Actually, it's a tanka. Okay. Tanka. And it's kind of in line with James's, except this might be the thoughts of someone who knows it's come to their time. And it's called passing. Do not mourn my loss. My time spent with few regrets. My mistakes, lessons. My love gave, and love returned. My best in you still remains. In peace.
That's very enjoyable, Stan.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing about grief. It is so much all over us. We never think about how the person feels who's actually leaving. Like, they realize, wow, when I leave, what's going to happen to these people?
you know, especially if this was like a patriarch or a matriarch, they look at their family and realize, wow, exactly how are y'all going to handle this when I'm gone? You know.
Well, I've just, so I, a student of mine who comes from a Vietnamese family who moved here a long time ago, his grandfather has just passed away, and his father is an only son. So his father's over 60, and for some reason in their culture, you need to have a godfather or someone who takes care of the whole family. Well, since his father's 60, his father's in great health and, you know, really sharp and everything, but just traditionally, he can't be elected the godfather of the family now. So they've just elected a 14-year-old boy to be the godfather of the family because they want to make sure there's someone left who's going to be there for a long time, is going to take care of everybody. That's pretty, pretty incredible, you know, to think about it. But it's, this is a reality that hits you no matter what culture you come from.
Yeah, and like you said, in their culture, they recognize, look, we need to have somebody, you know, that's going to be here for everyone and going to be here a while.
Right.
And it's strange to see, I mean, a 14-year-old suddenly finds themselves the possible inherent head of a family.
Boy, huh?
And all that goes with it. Wow.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's actually going to be exactly what this particular 14-year-old needs, but I can't imagine what it's like for many of them. Anyway, Stan, poignant piece. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, and thank you so much for a wonderful evening, and on to the next.
Thank you, Stan. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Oh, boy. All right. So we've got this whole thing going here, JT.
Yeah.
We got to shake it off because the thing is, it could come up again. Philip might continue this thread of that level of discussion, or he might come from something completely different, which, knowing Philip, is also very likely. So we can't carry that energy from the past few calls, as valid as it is, into this next call. So I'm going to shake it off for a second. I'm going to stretch.
What's a duck's favorite chip or dip? Excuse me.
What?
Quackamole.
That doesn't exist. I'm sorry. I mean,
wow, Captain Killjoy. Thank you.
You know, it's just, you know.
Okay.
Hey, how about this?
Yes.
How did Moses make coffee?
How?
He brews it. Let's go to Philip in Kentucky.
Maybe.
All right. Hey, Philip, how's it going?
Hey, hey. I hear this, you know, laughter, and I'm like, what did I miss?
Yeah, no, we didn't. It was, we're just telling puns at this point.
Marvelous. That's the announcement of, like, you know, Slap Happy Hour.
It kind of gets there. I mean, here's one, for instance. Sausage puns are the worst. See, yeah, there we go. JT started it, by the way.
Well, I hope he gets a good report card. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's what I hope so, too. It's all on him, Philip. It's all his decision. Yes.
Well, I should also say, while I'm remembering or trying to remember things that I should say, when you sang, man, I tell you, I swoon, Michael. That's some pretty singing you got going on there, buddy. You got some pipes. I just gotta tell you that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, you're very welcome. And anyhow, I will get to it. And well, maybe here we go. But I'm trying to work in some silly. I don't know. Are there any Kids in the Hall fans out there?
Oh, I'm a massive Kids in the Hall fan.
Well, I've got mTOR in my title, and of course, I'm sitting here rehearsing this like it means something, and I keep saying mTOR, and I'm like, Eradicator!
Eradicator!
Sorry. I miss that show so much.
I know, I do too. I watch episodes every so often. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
All right, here we go. The title, and caveat mTOR. All right. Don't be fooled. The stones bear a culture's weight, if it had any at all. meaninglessness en masse, distributed equally on scales, unmoved since Whitman's grizzle-bearded romanticism about his beloved democracy, whose existence never, even when captained by Lincoln. Wishful still for the impossible contrary, entire countries illumined by a single lamp, a flashlight left on after the storm. Every believed in savior since wears modern disguises, not motley but commonplace, to escape gnarled society, ducking the rabbit unimaginative misinterpretations of forefather desert texts meant as indications toward awe, an avocation practiced by each breath. Waiting patiently for the inevitable in another nondescript room beside fish tank oceans, thumbing through opinions indexed by Latin names, variants on the incurable human condition. Even lowly humble Ohm exits silently stage left, taking with it the furniture of the universe, a single red shift atom separated by light years. There it is, fellas.
That's a cool piece. I really like that last line there, too.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
You've got it, Philip.
You've got it. Big money, no whammy.
I feel like I've been, and I haven't really been that much, but I feel like I've been listening to sports announcers too much because I'm doing things. He's got it. He lines it up. It's gone.
Score. Yeah.
And now I totally want to do the goal.
Goal, yes. Yeah, but only on the Ocho, sir.
Only on ESPN, the Ocho.
Yes, the Ocho. You guys are marvelous. I love having you, your company and your camaraderie and all the other poets. It's so wonderful to be among you guys. You're good stuff. You just keep it going, and I'll see you next Friday.
We'll see you then. Right. Thanks so Thank much, you, Philip. Much appreciated.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Bye. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. Man, how did I...
What?
How did we go from Philip calling to then, you know, me yelling goal? It's all on the thing.
It is.
Are we getting slap happy?
No.
We're not really slap happy.
No.
This is normally.
This is normal.
Yeah, this is kind of normal, isn't it? That's okay. That's fine. Let's go now to Barbara in Connecticut. Hello, Barbara.
That's okay. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, guys.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going. I love that. I love hearing Philip read his poetry. And it just, oh, God. Every time he reads it, I want to be reading it with him. And I don't think I was reading with him because I was just listening. Just has a way of reading his work. It's just so commanding. It's like, you know. It's work that commands, but when he reads it, it's commanding, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then he could be really crazy and silly, so, you know, that's a big deal. You know, someone who can be so crazy and silly can be so serious, and, you know, it's like two sides of him. Anyway.
Imagine how silly Fidel Castro must have been occasionally.
Now, why did you bring that up?
Well, he's serious. He's a he's commanding. Philip's laughing if he's listening.
I don't know if he likes to be considered, you know, compared to Castro, but whatever.
I didn't say he was like Castro.
Yeah. Anyway, something sad happened. My daughter has a good friend that she was very friendly with, and they've been writing to each other, so she keeps up on her life. And about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, they started this GoFundMe page for her sister's baby, who was born with this defect, and unfortunately, he passed away. She was six, and so this is called Open the Gates. Sometimes life is not fair. Unfair to the unformed, naive one who came into the world with so much love her parents thought it would be enough. Fair of face and attitude and full of grace, they marveled at the joy they felt as she grew to a certain age, perfect in every way except one, the most important in the muscle used to power all of us. And yet they kept faith and begged to the heavens she would be mended and be back in the path soon. They waited and prayed and entreated and found a way to help this tender little girl to be whole again, putting their faith in the skill of the doctors who transferred life into her with the new heart. For a year, she was a normal child, and her family believed she had overcome and would be there forever in the comfort of her family's arms, until as her family's hopes soared for her future disappeared. And so did she from this mortal world. Now the gates of heaven are welcoming this new angel, and I only hope she will be able to run and play on the marshmallow clouds with abandon, her spirit soaring as it never could on earth. End poem.
Wow. There's so little to say. I mean, there's so much to say, but it just seems it's just hard to say it, you know?
I didn't even think I was going to write this. I wrote this, like, just now. I mean, by just now, I mean just now when the return engagement began, because it just came into my head to write it. And, you know, I know it's about the saddest thing I've ever heard. That 6-year-old who had lived from the time she was 2 to the time she was 6, mostly in hospitals. And just terrible, just so terrible. And they thought that she was okay. And then it was just like, you know, how hard it is to get a heart transplant.
Right. And yeah. And there's a lot more of this that, you know, a lot more of that, a lot more of that going on than I think we realize on a day-to-day basis. I got to see a lot of it when I was in the Children's Cancer Ward for a long time.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it sometimes it has a happy ending, but I don't know. This was just so sad. My daughter read it to me, and I said, very sad, I'm sorry. And then it just hit me that I wouldn't feel right unless I'd written a poem about it. It's like it has to be closed, or I'll be thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. But when I write a poem, it's kind of closed. I don't know if anyone else has that feeling about stuff that happens to them in life, but sometimes I feel that way. And just, you know, I didn't mean to bring anybody down, but this just came out, so I had to write it.
Well, we're glad you did, and thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you for everything you do. You guys are great, and Michael, I'll just echo Philip, that being able to sing Sinead O'Connor, I know you must have had to change the key, just amazing.
Thank you.
Just amazing. I have to say that. Just amazing. And your other piece, beautiful. It reminded me, do you know that, remember that song, See You in September?
Vaguely, yeah. Yeah, I saw your comment about that, actually.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of See You in September, See You in September. But yours is so much more developed than that. Because,
oh, thank you.
That's a pop song no one really... It was just the tune that they were thinking about, but your words are so powerful. Anyway, I'm getting off the thing so that other people can get on, because I know you have, you know, 4 more people. And talk to you next week.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye.
Talk to you then. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. All right. JT, how we doing? All right, so I'm just looking at the list here. Not yet, but it looks like we lost Eric.
Yeah, so
Eric's at the end of the segment. So.
Yeah, so we'll just have you have Eric call in.
Yeah, so Eric, when you hear Mary, get ready to call in. And then call in as we're wrapping that up, okay? All right, here we go. We're going to go now to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia. Welcome back.
Hi. Like Barbara said, your songs were beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
So in the first segment, I read from my book. I read the cover poem from my book, Rainforest and Russet. And it was co-written with my really good friend, Jude Neal. And so for this segment, I'd like to do a cover of Jude's title poem. So this is by Jude Neal. And you might remember she opened up Poetic Fest last year. She was the first performer.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So this is A Quiet Coming of Light by Jude Neal. A spray of moonlight fell like pewter beads onto the petaled earth. I made up shy Russian dance steps to ambush you. A curl of smoke crawling under a tightly closed door. But oh, dearest husband, now my hair's white as china and brittle as branches. And I still want you to want me more than our small complaints. I kept your life secrets taped to my mattress in drawers with no handles and cuddle bone knives. I wore you like perfume under the moon with the roses, your skin stretched and settled round mine. I remember the press of your lips on the pathway when we became part of a quiet coming of light. End poem.
Cynthia, you've really been hitting your stride on this latest work. I mean, the other stuff you've done has always been really strong, but I feel like, you know how you can tell when an artist has made some sort of a breakthrough? And I can definitely see that in your work now.
Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, and Jude Neal's been a huge part of that. We performed together a couple times, and I feel like I found my collaborator.
That's good.
That's fantastic. That's good. Really happy to hear that. That was a strong, strong collaboration.
Yeah, collaboration, I think, is really, really important. I think that's how we get up the charts, is by working together.
Yep,
that's true. That's true. I've always, as a musician, too. And, you know, it's funny because I show so little of what I do as a musician on this show. But all the times that I've really grown has been around collaborating with other people and people better than me. That's the other side of it.
Yeah, we lift each other up in different ways.
That's it. That's it. Well, you lift us up, Cynthia, and thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. All right. And we'll see you next time. That was Cynthia Sharp calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. All right, now we're going to head to Cleveland, Ohio. I'll stall here for Mama Oladeji. See if it works. Oh, Mama, we're having that Skype issue again. Can you give us a call right back? I'm so sorry. Yeah, can you hear it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you hear that right there?
Yeah,
you can hear from the... why don't we just have you hang up on it? Mary, it's going to be the same issue with you. But Mama, give us a call right back. We'll take you live. By the way, JT, since we're on the air, everybody knows. I've been talking with Eric here. He knows what's going on.
Perfect.
We're ready to go.
Perfect.
All right. So, JT, you got any more of those jokes?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Sure. Let's see. How do you find Will Smith in the snow?
How?
Look for the Fresh Prince.
What happened when the magician got mad? He pulled his hair out. Hey, Mama's calling.
Sweet. saving us from ourselves.
I was going to say, and we're saved. Hello, Mama. Thanks so much for calling us back. Sorry about that.
It's okay. You made me change my my poem.
Oh, no.
I was going to do a poem called Something Got a Hold, but then I changed it to The Loathsome Bard. Do you want to hear Something Got a Hold or The Loathsome Bard?
Which one do you feel is, you know, which one do you feel is the right one?
Well, I was feeling like Something Got a Hold until you start telling those jokes.
Oh, no.
Don't let that influence anything.
Yeah, please don't let the jokes influence you.
I start thinking about The Loathsome Bard.
I was going to say, if it's if we're living in a world where art is inspired by terrible jokes on the internet, then this is not a good world.
Yes. So, okay, I'll just go ahead. I won't do The Loathsome Bard. I'll go ahead and do the first one.
Okay.
Something's got a hold. And it goes like this. I get this feeling. It takes over. Inside my head spins like whirling winds. I get this look like I'm being overtook by alien wordplay. Something's got a hold, wanting me to say which way the crow flies, wanting me to tell how the brook babbles, why the bees scream, why the sun beams, why the moon screams, why the daisies die. I get this sensation, revealing revelations, silent concentration, and then laborious joy. A new poem is born. Something has come over me, extremely intense. Very extraordinary dopamine release. Awareness increased. Something's got a hold. My pen is in control. The secrets that unfold needed to be told. And now we see reality in peace.
That was a good piece.
Wow, Mama.
Well, I think I'm glad I stuck with that one.
I am too.
Well, I'm sure we'd love whatever you did, but that's a really cool one, and I'm glad you read it.
Yeah. When those aliens start getting in your head telling you what to write and stuff, huh?
I have that every single day, Mama. Since I started, I made that thing like where I have to write so much. I mean, I just released a book, and now I'm like looking at December, and I'm freaking out because I have another book that has to be done by then. And every single day, I'm praying there's aliens around telling me to write something.
Okay. Yes, they wanted you to release a lot of that information that you're sending down here. There's one that comes by my window every few weeks and just sits there right by my bedroom window. I put pictures on the internet, but like everybody said, that's a star. I said, no, that's not a star. That is an alien spaceship that sits by my window. I don't know what he's trying to find out, but I've taken pictures and posted them. And then there's no other stars up there. But still, even with truth, nobody believes me, so. I'm going to continue to take the pictures when they come back.
Yeah, do it.
Please do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look on my page, you'll see some of the pictures from, they come every few weeks. Somebody say, it's the North Star, blah, blah, blah. But,
that doesn't happen every few weeks. That's
it doesn't happen like every 2 weeks. I say every 3 weeks, like once a month, I say. Maybe twice a month because it's still there, like maybe to come back the next day. But I just want to let everybody know that I have a page called Reading Out Loud. It's actually a program where if you've written a book or you want to be a reader to read somebody else's work, or you want somebody to read your work out loud, so that you can kind of know how your work will be received 100 years from now when people are reading it and you're not around. It's called Reading Out Loud. And you can sign up on the page to either to be a reader or to have one of your
books, send me the PDF, and we'll have somebody read the poems that you pick out that you want to be heard, how they sound or how people are going to receive them. It's called Reading Out Loud.
Okay. Very cool,
all right.
Mama. Thank you.
All right, Mama. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All
I'm
right.
going back here, going back to listen to you do your live thing after this is over.
All right.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Bye. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Mary, give us a call if you could.
Please.
Please. Please. You know, here's a pun I really like.
Yeah?
You ready?
Yeah.
It doubles kind of as like a teenage butt joke. You ready?
Yeah.
The best time of day to eat eggs is at the crack of dawn.
Oh. Yep.
See what I mean?
See, I had one pulled up, and then my phone decided to close out. Oh, because this is stuff I send to my daughter.
Totally,
so,
it's clown shoes, man.
What do Alexander the Great and Winnie the Pooh have in common?
What?
Same middle name.
That's ridiculous.
See, there's Mary.
That's
right on time.
You want to hear a pun about ghosts?
No, I don't. Oh,
that's the spirit. Hey, Mary, how's it going?
You better answer.
Oh, we're here. Oh, we're here.
See how good it works? This is 2018, y'all. Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it.
1977, we didn't have it. We didn't quite do this way. We called each other on that long line that was connected to the one phone in our house that was in the middle of the house, and it had a long line. Anyway,
and it was connected to the funny bone. And
yeah.
It had a rotary
on it? We'll move
right on,
because I'm going to sing a song, and if you have a bathroom break to do, you may do it. I have to go back to Stevie Nicks, because although she was a little edgy for me when I was young, I like her music until now. I encourage anyone who likes today's music to listen to the song Praying by Kesha, K-E-S-H-A, because that's my daughter's generation, but I'm going to do a little Stevie. Thank you.
all I got.
Beautiful, Mary. Beautiful.
Yeah. I kiss you all. Let's get one more round, and everyone drive home safe, and good night.
Good night,
Mary.
Mary.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that was Mary calling from Arizona. Beautiful, beautiful piece. We're so happy that we had her. It's been a great night, everybody. We're waiting for Eric to call. He just got the signal, so it should be any second now. Boom, look at that. He's right on top of it.
Well done, Eric. Thank you.
Well done, Eric. How you doing?
Very good. How you doing?
Doing really well, man. Happy to have you. You're the one closing out our return engagement, actually.
All right. Awesome.
How was your week?
Yeah. Overexerted and overexhausted. I got massive heat rashes, and my brother told me to get this Calamine lotion spray. They make the spray now, which makes it 10 times easier. When I was a kid, well, I still am, but I'm highly allergic to poison ivy, and I had Calamine lotion, and I didn't know, and I didn't have spray, just had regular liquid and cotton swabs, and I learned the hard way with poison ivy. You got to dab, and you can use both sides, but make sure that you don't touch either side with anything else, otherwise you're spreading your poison ivy everywhere.
Yep.
So learn that the hard way. Anyways, they got spray now, so I'm gonna use that up. I had Gold Bond powder that worked last time, and I got a jock itch spray, and I took Benadryl today, and I had to fight my sleep because Benadryl puts me to sleep, so couldn't fall asleep at my job.
I gotta be honest, you know, Eric, the cool thing about tonight is that we have gone to subjects that we have never touched before on this show, and this is no exception. Earlier, I don't know if you caught it. Somehow, Philip inspired me to do a Pablo Escobar impersonation. So you know, it's like we're just going to new uncharted territories here. This is good.
All right, awesome.
Hey, I'm going to give you this.
Actually,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to give you the stage, actually.
Okay. All right. I'm reading one of my poems from my first book. It's called Diversify and Enlighten Your Alphabet by me, Eric Chilman. I did ABC poems, and anyways, I'm going to read it, and none of them are titled. So. All right. Allegories breed conceptions, dogmas, epistles, fundamentals, glorious heroes, incomprehensible justifications, knowledgeable magi, noteworthy, observant philosophers, questioning religious, skeptics, troubadours, universal vanity, worshippers, xylophoning, yearners, zen. That's in peace.
JT was on top of that one there. Good job.
Just following,
man.
Right along. I was done. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job, man. Hey.
What I was going to say was I actually missed most of the show. My second cousin came, and as soon as I got off work, he came and picked me up, and we went to several towns over, I guess, about 45 minutes away from where I live. And he wanted to go see a movie. And unfortunately, it just released today. And unfortunately, they only had two times. It was 7:05 and 10:15. yeah, it was ridiculous. But anyway, so unfortunately, we didn't get to go. We had Chinese food at a place. We had Chinese food several times, and it straight sucked. But anyways, what I'm saying is I didn't get to the show until like about 10:30. So
no worries.
Yeah, we're happy you made it.
Get home. So
yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I always bring something different, of course.
Yeah, so no, we're happy you do.
This is one of my favorite ABC poems that I've written, and basically I wanted to make a, like, I don't know. I think a lot of religious and just everything, allegories or symbolic and things like that, and I think that a lot of the religious and philosophy too, they are expounded epic poems, just to put that light. So that's kind of what the basis of my poem is about.
Fair enough, man.
Just give you a little back history of it. Oh, I did want to ask a real quick question before I keep you guys up forever. Okay. What is the title of the song that you play all the time at the end of the show?
Ah, that is Little Things of Venom by Arid.
Little Things of Venom. All right, cool. I absolutely love that song, so I wanted to know what it was.
I think JT's responsible for more Arid fans than Arid is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a theme cool. ongoing. Wow. Yeah. It's a good song.
Yeah. And I liked your two songs. I'd never heard them before, the ones that you did too.
Well, the first one you would never have heard before, but I'm glad you liked it, man. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right, man. Hey, Eric, feel better, dude. Have a, you know, take care of yourself this next week. It's been just a real, real hot week. There's been some all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you next time, okay?
All righty. Will do. Buddy. You guys have a good one. Have a good weekend.
Hey,
see you
too.
Next Friday.
See you then. All right. Bye.
All right. Later. Bye.
And that was Eric Collin from Texas wrapping up our return engagement segment. JT and I both want to say thanks to everyone who listens to us, who supports us, and who connects with each other throughout the week. We also really want to say thank you to the people who, you know, if a poet and a listener of the show contacts them because they need help with something, whatever, that they step forward and they actually do it. That's part of being the community here. It doesn't stop when it's not Friday nights, and you guys don't let it stop. And those are some rules of etiquette that I've seen you guys exhibit, and that's where we learn from as well. So thank you so much. If you guys need anything, especially the stuff about book marketing, like I said, I'm not good at it yet, but man, am I trying to learn as much as I can. So if you guys have any questions, if you're even not sure about what your publisher is doing, if there's something weird going on, just, you know, send me a message. I'm happy to talk to you about it, and I might not have the answers, but together I'm sure we can find something and try to help you out. So from myself, from JT, from Novia, the studio cat, and from Ursa, the studio dog, we want to say thank you so much for everything this evening. You guys were wonderful. We'll see you next week when we reveal the WPOM, POM of the month. No, wait, POM, POM. Yeah, you saw that. He's got an itchy trigger finger over there. It's like poised to go. So, just from all of us, thanks so much. And until we talk next week, keep writing. Love you guys. Good night.